if you would, to the book of Joshua. I spent 2 weeks on this message already, two very short weeks, and covered mostly the negative parts of it. So I thought, you know, I really need to get to the positive parts because it's tremendous. So chapter 14 of Joshua, verse 14. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. God is moving all around the world, even now as we speak. Tremendous things are being done. Revivals are in many countries. It's sweeping across parts of Africa and South America. We're seeing miracles after miracle after miracle in those places. But we're seeing a great move of God here in America also. Not just among the mainstream of society, but we're seeing it more among our young people. And yeah, it's awesome. In the high schools and in even some of the colleges. Yes, there are some that are totally opposed to anything God. But there's others that are yielding themselves, allowing God to use them. And tremendous prayer meetings taking place. But in Argentina and China and Africa and Korea and all over the United States, we're seeing God do some very special things. There's people starting to file into churches. God is moving. He will never disappoint. Now, Satan will do everything that he can to stop that. He'll put up every roadblock. One of his most effective tactics is to get people bickering. He wants to see some friction and factions. He wants to turn people against one another, a little backbiting here and a little slander over there. He'll try to cause discord all among the people. He'll get you to a place, if he can, where you will not believe God. And that's what we see here. Caleb and Joshua were two of the 12 disciples that went to spy out the promised land. When they went in, they split up and went to different parts of that promised land. Caleb went to one of the roughest areas. He went to where the giants lived, over around Hebron. We know that Joshua, he went in a little different direction. But then they brought back a report. And the 10 negative guys said, we saw giants there. Oh, yes, it was a beautiful land. But, man, they have high walls and their cities are huge and I don't think we can do it. Caleb and Joshua said, wait a minute, wait a minute. Yes, we can. They trusted God wholeheartedly. Now, understand something. God had already given them the land. He told, as they crossed the Red Sea, he said, I brought you out to bring you in. God is still doing that today. He's bringing you out to bring you in. And some of us are just happy to be out, and we never make it in. We stop. It's not time to stop. So the children of Israel got right up to the threshold. God urging them all the time, I've given you the land, go in and possess it. I've given you the land, go in and possess it. And they say, we can't. There was no in God's promise. Everything was yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, I've given it to you. Yes, go in. Their negative report was in Numbers 13:13, where they said, ooh, we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. If you see yourself as a grasshopper, guess what? Grasshopper. You are a grasshopper. And you don't know kung fu. Numbers 4:14, verses 2 and 4 says, if we had only died in Egypt or in this desert, they'd only been out 30 days. And they were already talking about dying or going back. Let's just choose up a leader and we'll go back to Egypt. And Caleb said, wait a minute, that's not what God told us to do. Numbers 13:30, Caleb silenced the people. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. In Numbers 14:9, he began to plead with them, don't rebel against God. Don't be afraid of the people that's in this land, because we're going to just eat them up. God's already given them to us, and we're just going to swallow them down. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. You know, sometimes we play things up in our mind so big, so bad, that we get afraid to obey God. We keep saying, we can't, we can't, we can't, we can't, when God is saying, yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can. They refused. They even wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. So Moses stepped in and prayed. He said, in accordance with your love, forgive their sin. Pardon them. And God said in verse 20 of chapter 14 of Numbers, I forgive them as you've asked me to. For 40 years, they wandered in the desert. Our first point was the influence of the false. 10 men cost 1 million people their lives. And it was probably more than 1 million that wandered in the desert and died. 10 men. As they walked, wandered, found their way around in the desert over and over, going around the same mountain for 30 years. Can you imagine that? And every step, these men had to remember, we're out here because of us. We're not in the promised land because we didn't believe that God would do it. Everybody else understood. We're out here because of them. They turned us against Caleb and Joshua. If they'd have had the courage, that spirit of Caleb and Joshua, they could have conquered the land in 40 days instead of spending 40 years wasted in the desert. Every one of us are like those 10 spies, or 12 spies, maybe I should say. Every time we gather in this house, we have a report. What's going on out there? What's God doing? What's God saying? When you sit on your hands and won't worship, that's part of what the 10 did. They said, oh, no. It was the 2 that gave that positive report. God can do it. We are on His side. He can do it through us. The more we worship, the more we praise His name, the more thanksgiving we give to Him, the more we're saying we can do it. Amen. Nothing, no weapon that's fashioned against us will prosper. Amen. What are you going to tell other people? That brings us to point 2. The blessing of the truth. Amen. Let me tell you something. The truth has a blessing attached to it. Especially when that truth is God's word. God has already said His word will never come back void. It will always accomplish what it's sent out to do. Maybe not in the time that we desire for it to, but it will accomplish that which is the purpose of God. Now listen to me. Those 12 spies, they all saw the same thing. The high walled cities, the giants. They saw the fortresses, the weaponry, the Canaanites and the Havites and the Hittites and all of the other ites had. Caleb and Joshua, they saw the Amalekites, the Jebusites. They understood. They saw those fortresses and they were amazed at the sight. Woo! Big giants. Anybody ever see Andre the Giant? Do you know who he is? Yeah. You got to have a little bit of gray hair to remember him. Or Haystack Calhoun. How many of you remember him? Yeah. I saw them in person. I was younger and smaller. They were much bigger. They were huge. They were giants. I'm sure that the Israelites were spying and they got blown away by the size of these people. Immediately it popped in the head of 10 of them. We could never whip them. It would take a Sherman tank to knock him down. And it'll be 4,000 years before one of those comes along. They might not have known, but stay with me. But Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute. Even if we had a sling and a rock, we could bring them down. Now, they might not have said that. or they might have. That might have been where David got the idea. You never know, do you? All that they knew was, this is a piece of cake for God. And if we stay with him, it'll be okay. Numbers 30 and 30. We should go up and take possession of the land. We can do it. We will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. So don't be afraid of them. Caleb based that on facts. Truth is based on fact. What facts? He had seen the Red Sea open. He was standing up close when Moses held his rod out and the sea began to part. And there was no mud on the bottom. It was dry land when the waters pulled back. And all the host of Israel went across on dry land. That's what the Bible says. But then when Pharaoh started with his chariots of iron and all of his army, and they started across to chase down the Israelites, all of a sudden they got stuck. And the waters come tumbling back. Caleb had seen that. He had seen already the water coming out of a rock. And enough that all of the people drank their fill, and all of their cattle drank their fill, and they filled up all of the cisterns and the water bags that they had, and the water didn't cease. He had already seen God's mighty hand move in pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. And he believed the promise of God. We can do it. Let's go. God's on our side. Because Caleb believed God, he was not afraid of the giants. There was nothing in that land that couldn't be overcome. He was no grasshopper. He was a mighty man of valor. He said, we can do it. This was courage born of trust and faith. Now, listen to me. If you trust God, and if you have faith in his word, then you can always have courage. You can overcome anything. You can be more than a conqueror, as we've already talked about and prayed. But you have to base it on the faith that you have in God's word, the trust that you have in Almighty God. Caleb believed God. In that faith that he had, he could face the world. He could overcome it, just like you can. Giant evils every day confront us. And we can overcome them. Most of us do. Every day. There's temptations galore out there. In case you hadn't been out there lately. It's rough. Those going to school, it's rough. I understand that. You have college professors that'll make fun of you if you believe in God. If you tout the things of God, then they're going to make fun of you and they'll hold you up to ridicule. They'll tell you that God does not exist. We have bosses that will fire you for showing faith in the workplace, talking about God. There's sensuality, atheism at every hand, unbelief more than you can count, immorality. I don't care where you are. There's political tyranny. Seems like that nobody in Washington will tell the truth anymore. Everybody's lying. You listen to the news at night, you're going to get depressed. You're going to have to pop a pill. Get over on the good station and listen to somebody preaching the truth of God. And just shout for a little while. It is all that the believer can see if he'll just open his eyes and look around. Sin, 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 sin. Temptation. Is there no other host that we can look on? Put on your eyes of faith and begin to look at God. Look at with God's eyes. It's only giants. No big deal. God says you can take them. I remember getting in an argument with the little boy that lived across the street from me. He said, my daddy can whip your daddy. I said, my daddy can take you on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know what that meant, but hey, it sounded good. I faced him down. Mike can take daddy on a Monday morning, but on a Sunday afternoon, daddy's got it. It's only giants that are out there or in the promised land. And the captain of our host goes before us. That's what he said. Let's remember that this church and churches like it all across the world are churches of the living God. He's not a dead God. He's not finished yet. He hadn't blown the trumpet. That's what's going to kind of bring things to a head. He's still on fire. He's still moving. He's still saving souls. He's still overcoming the enemy. There's still a pillar of truth that goes before us. There's a pillar of fire, which is called the Holy Spirit, that is now in us. And we can do all things through Christ because He gives us strength. This church is loved. Because we're a part of the bride of Christ. We've been purchased by His blood. There's nothing impossible to those that believe. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. And I'm not talking about First Assembly Rock Hill. Yes, I am. I'm talking about First Assembly Rock Hill. But I'm talking about all Bible-believing, God-fearing, Spirit-filled churches. The gates of hell will not overcome it. It is the church, and we have been promised a day of glorious victory when Jesus will put every enemy under His feet, and He will put His foot on the back of His neck. Just like Joshua had the children of Israel and the leaders of Israel do to the five kings that they were so afraid of. Psalms 2 and 8. It says, a day when Christ will receive the nations for His inheritance and the end of the earth for a possession. Do you remember the story of Elisha? When he was surrounded by the Syrians at Dothan, and the servant went out of the house, washed his face, took a little drink of water, and looked up, and all around on the sides of the mountains were Syrians. Chariots. It unnerved that poor guy. And he goes running back into the house and he says, you ought to see what I just saw. And in 2 Kings 6:15, it says, "Oh, my Lord, what are we going to do?" Elisha wasn't even ruffled. I guess he was out of bed. I don't know. He might have still been in bed. Kind of propped himself up on his elbows. And in chapter 6, verse 16, he says, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than that are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so that he can see." Verse 17. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So every chariot of the enemy, there was chariots of God on either side. Twice as many. Wait a minute. God hadn't changed. Do you realize that right now, with you, are a host of heaven? There's those that God has assigned. There's angels that are assigned to every child of the living God. They go with us. They protect us. And if we'll listen to them, we'll win the battle. There's more with us than they are with them. It's either true or it's not. That's what the Word says, so I believe it's true. The vision of the church. We need to see more with us. We need to know that as formidable as evil appears to be, in reality, it's weak, and He's already given us victory. It's conquerable. The tribesmen of Canaan, they were fierce. They were kind of like James. They knew how to. He's gone, so I can talk about him now. He was telling us a story back there about Spider-Man and how he'd take the enemies and go. We need that kind of faith. We need to be able to see those kind of things. Sure, the evil out there is rampant. But hey, there's more with us than they are with them. We are overcomers. So point three, the faith of the wholehearted. By what do we walk? What are we to believe in? The secret of Caleb's strength, his courage, and his faith is found in Joshua 14, 14. He followed the Lord God of Israel wholeheartedly. If you're half-hearted with God, no wonder you have so much fear sometimes. Or you're beat down. There are a few in the Bible of whom that can be said. There's few today of which that can be said. The situation is a vast number of us who are in the church, we're fairly satisfied the way we are. We're following God. Yeah. I know all about it. Yeah. Partly, occasionally, we have that spurt of faith, but not too much, because that'll cause us an inconvenience. We're not fully, we're not wholly given over to God, just partially. I'm satisfied where I'm at. The mighty influence of the great men of God was due to the fact that they followed God, their Lord, wholeheartedly. wholeheartedly, with everything that they had, with all their mind, with all their strength, with all their heart. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your heart. That's wholeheartedly. That's what we're called on to do. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that was going to stop him. If he had to walk mile after mile after mile, he was going to do it. If he was beaten, he didn't care. If he was shipwrecked, it didn't matter. If he was thrown into prison, hey, that's not stopping me either. He's going forward in Christ. That's what the church is called to do. In his second visit to Europe, Dwight L. Moody, in 1872, at an early morning meeting near Dublin, he heard Harry Varley, mighty, mighty man of God, say in a quiet voice, the world is yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. Over and over, those words rolled in Dwight L. Moody. He said, by the Spirit that lives in me, I'm going to be one of those men who wholly give themselves to God, who totally give themselves to God. I want to see what God's going to do. From then on, his life was like that of Caleb. He followed God wholeheartedly, and you and I know that the rest is history. Very quickly, I'm on point B. The greatest victory and reward of Caleb came many years later. He was an aged man by then. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness had taken a toll on Caleb. Those wilderness warnings did something else. It cemented something down inside of him. Over and over, he heard what God said through Moses. He never lost his faith in God. He never forgot what God had promised him and what God had promised Joshua. He remembered that moment when the 10 spies gave their negative report, when him and Joshua were the only ones among all of the people that stood on God's side. And even if all of the others would whiten the wilderness with their bones for their unbelief, they of all the host, Caleb and Joshua, would enter into Canaan and possess the land. Nothing would stop them. But what a long wait it was for this man called Caleb. He saw his generation die one by one by one. He saw Moses and Aaron disappear from leadership. But after a time, along with Joshua, he trod the soil of the promised land. He placed his foot once again on the land that had been born in his heart. All of those years he carried that, giving birth. That's going to be mine. I want it. God said I could have it. When Joshua began to divide the land, Caleb went up and started to remind him of God's promise. How all of those years he had followed wholly the Lord God. In chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, it says, "The Lord has kept me alive for 45 years. While Israel moved about in the desert, so here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go in and out of battle as I was then." That old man had grit and gut, didn't he? And for what part of the land did Caleb ask? Did he want down by the rivers? You know, where the willows hung, and he could sit on his porch and listen to the birds chirp and the fish play? Nah, not Caleb. He said, "I want that over there. See that mountain? I want that mountain. I want that mountain." And Joshua said, "Hey, old fella, that's where the giants lived. That's the land of the sons of Anak. That's the stronghold of Hebron. That was the land that not only did he desire, not only had he spied out, but that was the land he conquered." He took his guys with him, said, "Come on, fellas, we can do it. God said we could, we're going to do it." Caleb did not ask to be retired. He said, "I'm going into battle." Like Moses, his eye was not dim. His natural force was not abated. 85 years, and he still had that magnificent spirit, that can do. That was one of the things that I really liked about the Marines. The Marines always had a can-do attitude. The Air Force was, if we can find somebody to do it, we can do it. But we got to find somebody. That's where I was. That wasn't where y'all were. Y'all were in a better Air Force than I was. But the Marine, we can do it. And Caleb was right. We can do it. That's my land. They're on my land. He was just as strong. Numbers 13 and 30. We should go up and take possession of the land, because we can do it. Wall cities or not, doesn't matter. Enemy, doesn't matter. Giants, doesn't matter. Opposition, doesn't matter. God's on our side. When Christian in Pilgrim's Progress reached the top of the hill of difficulty, if you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, read it. It is magnificent. Second most Christian selling book of all time, next to the Bible. But he reached the top of the hill of difficulty, and he run into two guys that were running away. They were running in the opposite direction. Their names were Mistrust and Timid. Christian said to them, "Sirs, what's the matter? Why are you running the wrong way?" And Timid answered and said, "We're going We were going to the city of Zion, but the further we go, the more danger we meet. Therefore, we turned around and we're going back. Mistrust said, just before us lied a couple of lions in the way. Whether sleeping or awake, we're not sure, but if we came within reach, they would probably tear us to pieces. And Christian wisely replied, you make me afraid, but where shall I be safe? If I go back to my own country, that is prepared for fire and brimstone, and I'll die there. I shall certainly perish. If I get to the celestial city, I know that I'm going to be safe there. It's a risk I must take. To go back is nothing but death. To go forward is fear of death. And life everlasting is just on the other side of the fear of death. I will go forward. Let me tell you something. When you leave this house, there's many lions out there. You know, some of them's even roaming around in here. Satan goes to church, whether you know it or not. Yeah. Because if he can stop us in here, then he's got us stopped. There's lions and giants of fear out there. But there's also pride and greed and doubt and evil and all other sort of manner of things that would try to drag us down. You cannot get to heaven without meeting every one of them and conquering them. You and I are on a journey in the promised land. It's right over there, but we can do it because we'll stay true to him. And there's something that will never, ever, ever cease. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you, but I will be with you always, he said, even unto the end of the age. Don't turn back. Don't give up. I've seen too many that get right to the very threshold of the promised land and say, no, can't do it. And they turn and walk away. Don't do that. It's worth it to go on forward. The guys that are going to help me serve communion, if they would come quickly, please.